How do you know all that?
My boy is hooked on the zombie takeout.
What's up? Welcome to episode 126 of
Zombie Takeout,
the B movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John,
and I'm Scotto,
and we're back finally.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Yeah, a little bit longer than the 2 weeks we'd planned. Actually, twice as long.
Yeah, more than twice.
Yeah.
Oh wow! So yes, I am live from what now shall be known as TMZ Studios here on the north side of Chicago.
Okay.
Interesting name. Tuesday Muggy Zombie Studios.
Ah, okay. It's not a reference to that horrible celebrity thing.
Yet irresistible to watch when it's on.
I've never seen it, actually. I only know of it in passing. Before we get into listeners submitted this week, I just had a couple of things to cover. First off, a shout out to the Movie Homework podcast. They gave us a plug a few weeks ago. I wanted to return the favor. Not just saying this because I wanted to return the favor. I'm actually a fan of the show. I listen every week. Basically, you have the two hosts, Mariam and Ari. I'm not going to try to say their last names because I will butcher Ari's. They assign each other movies that they've seen that the other hasn't. And then they talk about them. And they are both post-grad film students, so a lot of times when I listen to the show, I wonder if we're even qualified.
Ah, we have microphones in front of us. Of course we're qualified.
Anyway, you can find them at moviehomework.com. I highly recommend checking out the show.
Well, that's the thing with us. You have a lot of movie critics, and their background of study is film, but this show is pointedly not.
Yeah, true. And I think we have enough diversity in terms of our other knowledge to make up for it.
Exactly. I mean, I did study a little bit of film, but, you know.
Well, we've both studied a bit of acting, and I took a brief directing class, but yeah, we're not really film students per se. Okay, next, I'm going to do another, of course, as I tend to do when we have long breaks, a What I Watched Over the Break segment.
Oh, it's like a book report.
First off, I got to see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. I was, you know, you all know
Damn,
how much
lucky.
I've been looking forward to this one.
I've been looking forward to seeing that one too, and I can't believe I am. Did it live up?
It didn't quite live up.
Oh.
The action stuff and the whole vampire thing, those scenes lived up.
Yeah.
Beautiful, B-grade, brilliant action. But as one reviewer who I saw in the Wikipedia entry said, they tried to make two movies at once. You have the awesome B-grade action flick, and then you have the serious biopic.
They tried to go there?
Yeah, and the serious biopic, it isn't even factually accurate in a lot of ways.
Right, why would they bother with that?
I don't know. And I've not read the book. I've heard it's a lot better. But yeah, so it's kind of half and half for me. The performances were all really good, I will say that. Also, I got to finally watch the rest of George Romero's Of the Dead series.
Oh, nice.
Like the article on Wikipedia said, they're all very much of their time. Day is very 70s, Dawn is very 80s, both very cheesy B-grade.
I remember Dawn from the 80s, yeah.
Yeah. Dawn is the 80s one, yeah, that's the military one.
Uh-huh. Those are the only two I've seen out of the deal.
Yeah. Day I kind of like. The 70s one. The
yeah.
Beginning was weird, but it once they got to the mall, it was very, very cool. Day was very, as you know, very cheesy, very 80s.
Yeah.
Then you have Land of the Dead. Probably the best of the lot. At least
no
the
kidding.
Most solid.
Is that from the 90s?
Well, there's a 20-year jump.
Okay.
Dawn was, I think, 85, 86, somewhere in there. 85, because then it jumps 20 years to 2005 for Land of the Dead. But you have John Leguizamo, Dennis Hopper
Oh
and
my God.
Simon. I can't remember his last name. He plays the mentalist.
Cowell? No,
He's on the mentalist. Can't think of his last name.
I could not sit through an episode of that show.
But very solid. Doesn't have quite the high points that the first one has, but none of the low points either. Again, very solid, good action movie. Kind of picks up from a thread in Day. The fact that they can be trained,
Oh.
they can learn, it picks up on that. Then you have Diary of the Dead, which is found footage. Again, trying to be of their time.
Oh.
And then Survival of the Dead, which was just a mess. The heroes in that movie were villains in the previous movie, which never works. Unless you're Joe Cornish, you know. So I would recommend checking them out. Just don't put your hopes up too high, except for maybe Land of the Dead. I also checked out the Resident Evil series. I mentioned this on our Facebook page. I've never played the game, so I don't have that attachment to it. I loved all of them. They just got more and more cartoonish and silly as they went. I had a blast. If you just go into them as B movies, you'll love them. And finally, I took on a bit of a suicide mission.
Oh.
Because I've bagged on these movies, but I've never actually seen them.
Oh.
Finally decided to watch The Twilight Saga.
Oh. Oh my God, you took one for the team. Jeez.
The first one is laughably bad. It is exactly what you're expecting.
Well, that's just it. I mean, there isn't a surprise.
Thing is, they get, at least the first three do get progressively better.
Yeah.
The second one, still laughably bad at points, but I kind of started to get into the story. The third one I actually liked. There's actually a really good fight scene in there. It's werewolves versus, well, actually, werewolves and vampires versus vampires.
Right.
Pretty solid. The fourth one, emo as hell, but no comically bad moments, which is interesting. It's very solid, but it's just annoying.
But wouldn't they really just be better movies? If Wesley Snipes came in and just
Well,
killed all their
of
asses.
course. But honestly, if you're bagging on them and you haven't seen them, at least give them a watch. They might surprise
Oh,
you. And
I don't
again, I
know.
would highly recommend Evil Dead. As long as you go in looking for B movies, you will love them.
You mean Resident Evil?
What did I say?
Evil Dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Resident Evil. Yes, I meant Resident Evil. Well, kind of the same thing with Evil Dead, though.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are obviously going to be rusty tonight.
Oh,
It
God,
is our
yes.
first show
In
in
over a month,
5
yes.
weeks.
All right, so on to some listener submitted. Matt
All right.
Goranson posted this on our Facebook page in reference to the last episode. If there was ever a TV show made for ZTO, it would be Hyperdrive, he said. That was the science fiction British comedy series with Nick Frost. He
I
just
have not
gave it
seen
an
that.
another recommendation. Just again, really check it out. It's on Netflix. And also, Richard Hawes posted on our Facebook page in reference to the trailer for this week's movie. Great action movie. Couldn't believe it when B-movie director Michael Davis got the chance to do this potential blockbuster. That rarely happens, and this was the guy who did Monster Man in 2003. I certainly wouldn't have picked him for a film like this after that. He did a really good job on Shoot 'Em Up. While it's a little too offbeat for its own good at times, it's got a lot to recommend it. Primarily the inventive cartoon action sequences. A real
Right.
shame that it flopped, and I really can't understand why. One of the best action films of the thousands. We'll see if we agree with you in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to give play my hand a bit here, I did enjoy it, but I do also understand why it flopped.
Yeah,
But
likewise.
we'll get into this in a bit.
Yes. Only one news story this week, but it's a good one.
All right.
Concept art from Black Dynamite director's Aztec Warrior. This is from Slash Film. Scott Sanders, the man who with Michael Jai White crafted the often hilarious blaxploitation spoof/homage Black Dynamite, is turning to the world of Mexican wrestling with his next film, Aztec Warrior. The movie begins shooting today, and this was weeks ago, his news is a little old, but
Yeah.
with Luis Guzman as a luchador who faces off against his rival El Diablo, played by Eugenio Derbez. And evidently, there are some familiar-looking robots in the movie as well. piece of concept art surfaced recently showing the Aztec warrior squaring off against a machine that looks a lot like an ED-209 from RoboCop. Those are the ones from the second one, the tanks.
The ones that look like, kind of like AT-ATs?
Kind of, yeah. Well, AT-STs, the two.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The two two-legged ones.
Right.
The link will be in the show notes. Definitely check this out. The Black Dynamite director doing a movie about luchadors and they fight a robot. This is going to be awesome. Of course, that brings us to this week's movie, which is from 2007, Shoot 'Em Up. And of course, the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by
carrots, because it's a much healthier phallic symbol.
Mm-hmm. And by physics. Sometimes breaking the rules can be fun.
Wow, I can already hear the train tracks go. Anyway.
Stay on target.
Stay on target. All right, so we begin with a lonely man sitting at a bus stop. A pregnant woman passing by seems like she's in labor. He's not really too interested or going to do much about it. But then... and then it all happens. Is really how
hilarity
you put
ensues.
It. Pretty much a hitman just comes from out of nowhere following her and begins to attempt to kill her. And really, you could honestly say hilarity ensues from that point. Yeah. But we'll play some of the plot here. She has her baby. In the middle of probably one of the best baby delivery scenes mm-hmm. in film history.
Best cord cutting scene ever.
Yes. The whole baby delivery scene. It's usually this very cheesy thing. I love how they played on the baby delivery cliches of, oh, I need you to give me one more push.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, imagine him doing all of that while shooting people.
Yes.
Because, of course, it's never good enough to just have one hitman to take out a pregnant woman. No. You need to have a whole team of I was going to say pregnant hitmen. you need a whole team of hitmen to take out the pregnant woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they are all killed. And the weird thing, though, is eventually after the chase ensues, the woman is killed. And you realize she is not the target. Well, she was the target she was going to have the baby.
Indirectly, she was the target.
Right. You realize they're actually after the baby. Which, of course, you're sitting there, at least my first reaction was, holy fuck, someone's finally going there where the bad guys are literally baby killers. Wow. Bravo, sirs. Anyway, so you have this, who turns out they kind of suggest he was Black Ops trained, and of course he becomes pretty much a nanny. So what you have is a cross between The Professional with the charge being much younger.
Right.
And Raising Arizona.
A little bit, yeah. I can see it.
In fact, there is even a scene where, they're driving in the car, the baby's on the road,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to pick the baby up from the car while driving, which is
directly
from Raising Arizona.
You're right. I completely forgot about that scene.
All they're missing, Paul Giamatti is taking the part of Randall Tex Cobb, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But oh so enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, he brings the baby to a wet nurse, you could say. A lactating prostitute to try and have her.
You get to use those words together.
I know. This movie, it is the beauty of this movie. There are so many weird things that they threw in there. She refuses, but then when they try to kill her, of course, she joins up and the chase is on for all three of them. I can safely say from this point on, hilarity ensues. Wow, not bad for the first time in 5 weeks. Holy shit.
It also leads to a bit of a conspiracy involving a presidential hopeful.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, that's why. Because, that is one of the hooks of the movie for a lot of it. You're wondering, why the fuck do they want to kill a David?
Right.
How
And
are
you
they going
find.
to work that in to have it make any sense
Right.
whatsoever?
And eventually you find that it has to do with a presidential hopeful, but more on that later.
Which honestly, in the end, it really doesn't make any
Oh, no.
sense. I mean, the plot makes sense in that aspect, but what actually happens for like the twists and stuff from that point
Right.
makes sense.
Now, it turns out that Baby Oliver was cast before he was even born. Producers chose a woman who was pregnant with twins who would deliver about the time filming began, so the baby would
Nice.
genuinely be a newborn as the character is.
Wow.
So they went for a lot of authenticity on a movie that really.
Lacked authenticity.
Yeah. I mean, I realized that about 10 minutes in that there really was no point to nitpicking the physics.
Well, right. At first you start, well, I suppose, and then you realize, no. This what they've done here, and this is a really easy way to sum this movie up. This is a Zatoichi movie
Yeah.
with guns.
Pretty much, yeah. It is the best John Woo movie ever made.
It's better than anything John Woo ever
That's
did,
what I'm saying. It's
honestly.
a John Woo movie, but much better than
Yeah.
anything he's ever done. It's also, like I said about Attack the Block, it's the movie that John Carpenter should have been making all along.
But you're sitting there and you're thinking, wow, they're only getting 50 guys to take him out? You
Yeah.
know it's going to take a lot more than that. And it's just, well, how is he going to kill every last motherfucker in the room?
And I think the point where I gave up on the physics was when he threw the gun at one of the henchmen and it knocked him out.
You know, I think the carrot stuff in the
Oh, yeah,
very
the carrot
beginning,
through the neck, yeah.
carrot through the head.
The lead character, Mr. Smith, played by Cut Live Owen, he's constantly chewing carrots and occasionally using them as weapons.
It's the chewing of the carrots. It's very man with no name, Clint Eastwood. They even later use that phrase, a man with no name when describing him. Riding a pale horse, dispensing his own brand of justice. Those are both phrases associated with different Clint Eastwood
Right.
characters. Pale rider, Dirty Harry, of course, dispensing his own brand of justice. So it's very self-aware, the movie, if you notice that. And I think there were definitely some Zatoichi nods, too.
And there was, and this, I'm almost tempted to consider this a spoiler, even though it's very early in the movie and it's just a quick gag, but he sticks the carrot in one of the henchmen's mouth, punches him, and the carrot goes out the back of his neck.
Right, that's in the, almost the that's
That's
like the
it.
second scene of the movie,
Yeah.
yeah. It's in the
But
very intro.
I almost feel like that's a spoiler. But that, what it does is, it really tells you how insane this movie is going to be.
That's the Austin Powers wink to the camera, and you shouldn't follow too closely either
Yeah,
moment.
exactly.
Where they flat out tell the audience, don't think too much about any of this because, yeah, we're just kind of having fun here. Because come on, a carrot going through, penetrating
Yeah,
anything.
right.
Come on.
From a punch, yeah. Just
Right.
a few stats to really give you all an idea of what you're in for. Body count, 106.
Where'd you get a body count from?
I think it was on the IMDb.
No shit.
Reportedly, 15 gallons of fake blood were used.
Okay, I believe that.
Mr. Smith uses a total of 18 guns, and over 200 different guns were used in the film. So that just gives you an idea of the orgy of gun violence you're in for in this movie.
Right.
And this would not be that remarkable except for the leads.
Right.
You have, as Mr. Smith, the good guy, Clive Owen.
Mr. Gosford Park himself.
Yes. And recently up for an Academy Award for Children of Men. And as the villain,
Mr.
Hertz.
John Adams himself.
Yes. The great Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
And the thing I love is they both knew that they were completely overqualified for these roles,
Oh, of
so they
course.
just had a blast with them.
Yeah, it and that's
Chewed
what
the scenery in the best possible way.
you could that's one thing you could tell. They had a hell of a lot of good time on this. They really just enjoyed themselves and went along for the ride, which is what they expect everybody else to do when seeing this.
The reason I found out about this movie is it was featured on an episode of MythBusters.
Was it the flying through the windshield scene?
No. Although I loved that one. He deliberately takes his seatbelt off so he'd fly clear through the windshield into the back of the bad guy's van.
Right. Or was it the skydiving scene?
It was the carousel scene.
Oh, the
The little
carousel scene.
carousel in a playground. He puts the baby on it, and Giamatti's gonna, take a shot at the kid with a sniper rifle. Mr. Smith shoots the rail and spins it. They tested this. They used everything from a pistol to a 50 caliber rifle.
Something, destroying the baby in the process of spinning the carousel.
Punched a 2-inch hole through the railing. None of them moved it more than 6 inches.
No kidding.
But this is, it's not a movie you go in looking to nitpick or think about. It's just have fun with it, like the leads did.
I would think a 22 would move it.
They tested everything between.
Because I was thinking, the smaller gun,
Nope. It
We
either
don't think.
didn't move it at all, or it moved it 6 inches and punched a 2-inch hole in the rail.
Huh. Well, that's what I was thinking. A larger gun would actually penetrate the
Yeah,
rail.
they
A
tried
smaller gun would
regular
deflect.
20. They tried a regular 22 and
Huh.
nines and everything.
Of course, he was not using a 22. They had no small guns in this film, of course.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they even made a joke about a 22 somewhere there, didn't they? Or no?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Another sign of what you're in for, of course, the mother is killed early on in the movie, and yet they proceed to show her breast twice after she's killed. At one point, Giamatti's character is feeling her up after
Yes.
she's been killed. I mean, that's trauma style right there.
Yeah, the whole actually that's the first thing I thought of when I saw her with the bullet in the head was the that was it was looked very trauma actually the effect. It wasn't very convincingly done.
And
So
then Hertz is on the phone with his wife, and then he's feeling up a dead woman. And what about the pawn shop where he buys all the ammunition from?
well, yeah, the interesting idea of in America you could just walk into a pawn shop and just,
He orders
buy an arsenal.
an arsenal's worth of ammunition from a pawn shop.
It was kind of, that's what I realized, like, oh, this isn't exactly made by Americans, is it?
Any sane screenplay would put an Army Navy store in there, or a gun store. Something where you could find a good selection of ammo. No, they put a pawn shop in.
Yeah. And then I think it was after, at the end of the film, where they had the credits that I realized Toby Emmerich was involved.
Toby Emmerich, related to Roland?
I believe so.
Ah, that explains it. Although there is some interesting use of guns. One point, Giamatti's character burns the lactating prostitute
Right.
because he's trying to get her to talk. He fires the gun and then burns her with the barrel. Never seen that before.
Yeah, they try to find different ways of using guns.
And later in the film, there's a very Home Alone-esque sequence.
Yes. The tying of the guns to different things.
He ends up in a gun warehouse. And I'm not going to get into how, because, the plot is actually kind of fun to follow.
The plot is very weird.
But it's fun to follow along, so I don't want to spoil too much, but
It's a very schizophrenic movie if you
yeah.
think about it.
But he rigs all of these guns with tripwires, basically. And so he that and they all take out the henchmen as they're trying to find him in the warehouse. And I thought the idea of having a gun battle in a gun warehouse and hiding behind boxes of guns when you're being shot at was kind of amusing.
Right.
And also had one of the better splatter moments. And a gag I'm surprised they only used once. There's one of the henchmen manages to sneak up on him in the gun warehouse. He sets off one of the this sawed-off shotgun, and the blood splatters on the camera.
Yes.
They only use that trick once. I'm surprised and impressed that they didn't go to that well too many times.
Because they started going to the carrot too many times. Like he repeated the same thing with the carrot like a couple times. I think it was like at the third time, it was kind of like, all right, we get it already.
Although at least they did explain it later on in the film. He confronts the presidential hopeful, and he notices dog hair on his pant leg right after taking a bite of the carrot.
Yeah, very strange.
Well, he eats the carrots to improve his eyesight to shoot better.
Yeah.
So the fact that he no obviously took a bite of the carrot and then noticed that dog hair kind of says, okay, that's why he eats so many carrots. I think I'm done with the good.
And I just looked up Toby Emmerich is of no relation to Roland
Oh,
Emmerich.
okay.
But he has known for some crappy movies of like the Notebook and Sex in the City 2.
Oh, wow. Okay. And from what Richard Hawes had to say, apparently the director also has a checkered past career-wise.
I mean, he's done some. I mean, he's co-produced decent movies, but
Now, on to the bad. Unless you had more good to point out.
No, I think that's about it.
You've recovered.
Yeah.
There's a despite the scene in with the splatter on the camera and another scene after that, torture scene, there is a disturbing lack of splatter. There's really very little blood in the movie.
Are you serious?
Well, most of the gun violence, you don't really see much. I mean, I wanted full on trauma Uwe Boll splatter in a film like this.
That I guess that's the deal is you've been watching Uwe Boll movies, but I mean, I loved that they actually used the splatter in that one fight as a weapon.
True, true.
Seriously, there's a scene where he uses the own splatter from getting shot in the hand himself.
Yeah.
He uses it to, get the eyes of the guy in front of
That's
him.
yes. And when he cuts the umbilical cord, there's a nice splatter moment there.
Yes, there is. The cutting of the cord.
But I just maybe I was expecting too much, but I just didn't quite get enough, insane cartoonish splatter.
Yeah.
Also the jokes were horrible.
Yeah. The whole thing with the neon sign in the beginning. Just very.
Well, how are BMWs different from porcupines?
Yeah.
And the how is a gun better than a woman joke was actually lifted from an NRA magazine.
Wow, really?
Or website rather, yeah.
That really comes back to the whole strangeness of this movie was that it's a gun control movie or movie with a gun control message in a movie glorifying guns.
Well, yeah, and well, I guess we'll get to that moment when he confronts the presidential hopeful.
Yeah.
That's when it fell apart for me.
I agree.
Because
Yeah.
I was loving it up until then. I mean, yeah, this it fell a little short in a couple of ways, but I was a solid 4.5.
Yeah.
And then it just got way heavy-handed. And he did something very out of character. He straight up murders the senator, the presidential hopeful.
Yeah, and I think the only thing they were going is that he thought he'd save the baby by killing the senator.
But in every other case, I mean, yeah, he kills a lot of people, but they're all trying to directly kill him. In this case, the senator posed no immediate threat.
Tied up.
He was tied up, vulnerable, and he still decides to throw him out of a plane right after making this annoying speech about how guns are bad and you can't trust anybody and who stands to profit.
Right. It's so weird. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the movie, glorifying guns or violence. And I know this is really, we're
Early on,
going
you
into this.
realize it's that's what you're in for.
Right. You make the connection, okay, I'm buying into this, you know, this is what's gonna happen in this movie. And then they take time out to say, you know, we've been doing all this gunplay, but guns are really bad. And then, okay, time to start playing with the guns again. It just didn't make any sense. And it's kind of weird that we're doing this like days after the shooting in Aurora.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, some retard who dyed his hair the wrong color isn't going to change, you know, 200 and whatever years of American culture.
And I don't really want to get into that much, but just one comment on the some of the news coverage. Every version of the Joker I've ever seen has said green hair.
Green fucking hair. Green hair.
Just say it.
Put him in general population and let the prisoners take care of him.
Did he say he was trying to emulate the Joker?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't. I thought it was the news, the media fucking up. Oh, wow.
No, that is what he reportedly said.
Yeah, okay.
Joker has green hair.
Yeah.
Joker has green hair. Wouldn't it be funny if he was trying to give his testimony and that's all like either the judge or like the prosecuting attorney just interrupted him with that?
Well, no,
I'm sorry, Joker has green hair.
then you bring in Mark Hamill doing the Joker voice, ranting.
Or Nicholson even.
The animated versions to me are the best ones. Conroy and Hamill to me are Batman and the Joker. Anyway, tangent.
You
Back to
bring
the
Heath
movie.
Ledger in. Oh, no, we can't.
Back to the movie.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, that's really where it falls apart when they decide to get all messagey.
It's so short. Well, you could say it's short, but obviously they've put the pieces of the theme throughout the movie. Oh, it's so easy for him to go into this pawn shop and just get an arsenal, and
But at
oh,
least that was subtle.
there's, you know, this senator who's gonna repeal the Second Amendment is how it's worded in Wikipedia, which is like really like what?
He's attempting to introduce a very restrictive anti-gun law.
Which he's running that on a campaign. If you think about how that's probably the most unrealistic
Yeah.
thing in this entire movie, if you
Because
think about it.
if it's that restrictive, he's not getting in.
Right. Because, I mean,
To bring this to reality for a moment.
everybody says that a lot about Obama, but if you notice, he has not done a thing about gun control
Oh, absolutely
while
not.
in office because he wants to get reelected. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is probably the most fantastic part of this entire movie, and that is saying an awful lot.
Yeah. And then you have the silliest moment in the movie. And I say this as a B movie fan. Y'all know how much I love the B movies and how when things are just cartoonishly over the top. This was too far from me. The parachuting scene.
Oh. I don't know. I have mixed emotions about it. It
A
was.
gun battle while falling out of a plane with no parachute initially, in Mr. Smith's case.
I give it props because it's never been attempted before.
Okay.
But, of course, the reason why it's never been attempted before is because it's, you know,
Silly as hell.
completely not grounded in reality.
Yes. And it wasn't even shot well. It screamed green screen.
Of course, because you could never shoot a scene like that and, you know,
Well, no, but I
kill
mean,
stunts.
it looked, I mean, obviously it was done with a green screen, but it even looked bad.
Yeah, it was. They tried to cover it by heavily stylizing it, you know, with the colors and stuff.
Yeah.
They used a different filter on it, obviously, but they were just hiding the fact that it was very cheesy green screen.
Now, I haven't really watched it since last week. I skimmed it today, but I missed this part. Did he land with a parachute? Did he somehow get one in air, or did they explain him landing without one?
No, he landed with the parachute.
Oh, he did land with a parachute. Okay.
Yeah.
Broke his leg or something. And then we get to another horribly
Well,
heavy-handed.
that was the thing. It was a little over an hour into the movie, and it was the first time he got hit.
Yeah. He got injured at all. And did you notice the only time he missed a shot was when he was shooting at Hertz?
Oh,
And he
yeah.
was rappelling down the stairway. He shoots at Hertz. It's the only shot he missed in the movie.
Well, and then there's the end after the torture, but you know.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying when he was on his game,
Yeah.
the only one he misses is when he's shooting at the other lead,
Right.
who they can't obviously can't kill yet. And then we have another bit of heavy-handed cliche. The guy who owns the gun company who manufactures guns for a living is into taxidermy. And is sitting there doing some taxidermy while they're basically not even interrogating him, just trying to break him and torture him. Which again was a nice moment of splatter.
Yeah.
But it really just all fell apart for me after once he gets on the plane and talks to the senator.
It definitely changes, well, changes the mood of the whole movie, really. It kills it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, before that, you're not thinking about anything, you know? You're just along for the ride.
Right.
And then they stop it for just that one scene and say, "All right, now think about this." And then once you start thinking again, you're like, the whole fucking movie's stupid, though.
Yeah. They kind of
Like,
shot themselves in the foot there.
right.
Although it was kind of interesting to see how he was going to win a gunfight with two broken hands.
That was good.
Because I was sitting there wondering, they tie him down after he jumps, he collapses from the pain of breaking his leg or however he got injured in the fall. Next thing you know, he's tied up by the bad guys and then the taxidermy, and they proceed to break all of his fingers while telling him how his cause is hopeless and the kid's gonna die. And then he has a one-on-one gun battle with Hertz, and he wins with two broken hands. And I
For
was
most
wondering
movies,
how he was going to do it.
that's a spoiler, but it's really how he does it that
Yeah.
is the thing
I don't
that
want to
really
explain
impressive.
that, but
Right, you can't give that
I
away.
was really wondering. Because obviously he's going to.
Right.
And then the final scene in the Dairy Queen. He basically sends her and the kid out of town and says, "Don't tell me where you're going."
And then somehow figures out where they are
Somehow
after
tracks
that.
them down to a Dairy Queen.
It's like, what the fuck? That just made no sense at all. Yeah, you take this bus route. I'll eventually somehow find you just following the bus route and going off the bus and
Yeah.
wandering about, and hopefully I run into you.
Oh, another point about the whole gun, mixed message on the guns.
Yeah.
When he puts the gun on her finger as an engagement ring.
Yes. We didn't even talk about the love scene.
Oh, yes. Okay. Roll it back. Because this irritated me.
It did.
There is a sex scene that is so obviously crowbarred in to basically have a scene where he's killing the bad guys while in her. In the act, he's shooting.
Well, yeah.
And
So
it was just so obviously crowbarred in. And now Monica Bellucci, who plays the lactating prostitute, has done a lot of nude scenes. And yet she doesn't show anything in this one.
very weird.
Yeah. But the scene in the Dairy Queen, I don't know why, but it just irritated me. Because he finds them at the Dairy Queen, and then three guys break into, come in and attempt to rob the Dairy Queen, and he shoots them, of course.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, maybe because I was thinking too much before this, it just seemed silly.
That's much more crowbarred in
Yeah,
than the love scene.
probably.
The love scene actually couples quite nicely with the childbirth scene from the beginning.
It was creative, I'll give it that much.
It's a nice little continuity of the movie, really. You
Okay,
have
yeah.
a birth scene, you have a love scene, and then the end, it's kind of, ugh, it's stupid. The end was just dumb and mindless, which is, I don't know. You could say the rest of the movie was mindless, but there was a certain creativity
Yeah,
to how
exactly.
they
Yeah.
executed things.
Right.
At the very end, it was just very clumsy, and he was shooting. I don't even understand. He was like shooting them in the leg, the knee, or the
Yeah.
ankle.
And you have three rank amateurs and obviously this amazing marksman. At
Right.
least when it was the professional hitman, he had, some competition.
Right.
This was just easy pickings and it bored me.
This was Zatoichi, say they end the movie and he just fights three retards.
Yeah, exactly.
Who don't know what the hell they're doing after he takes out like this whole army,
And also, again, like I said, I viewed it again today. Skimmed through it. Kind of bored me on the second viewing, I gotta say.
Well, if you know exactly what's going to happen,
Yeah,
I can't
it
see.
doesn't hold up to repeat viewings. Oh, one minor little nitpick. This movie really needs a Wilhelm. If any movie needs a Wilhelm, it's this one.
You don't think there was a Wilhelm in
There
there?
was not a Wilhelm. I've checked. I researched. There was not one Wilhelm.
My God.
Which is a shame.
It is.
Because this, of all movies, needs a bloody Wilhelm.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I think we're pretty much done with
I think we are too.
no room for sequels. Well, I guess you could do sequels, but they'd be pointless.
You know what? Prequel would be pretty cool, I
A
think.
prequel could be interesting to explain
Ending,
Smith's
of
backstory,
course.
yes.
Ending, of course,
Ooh,
with
at the
him
bus
waiting to
stop.
get on the bus.
Yes. Of course, it bombs, so we're probably not going to get that. I don't
Yeah.
think this will ever get remade.
Yeah, they were quite lucky to make their money back, pretty much. And yeah, and that's why it did bomb, because it didn't really know what it was doing, you know? If it just knew what it was, the fun roller coaster popcorn movie, I think they would have had something here.
If it stayed what it was up until he got on that plane, I would have absolutely loved this movie.
I think this is, I think, the first time I'm going to actually use like a quote from Roger Ebert.
Oh, wow.
I may disapprove of a movie for going too far, and yet have a sneaky regard for a movie that goes much, much further than merely too far.
Absolutely.
That is what he said about
Yeah.
this movie.
Oh, this one. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
He gave it like 3.5, I think, out of 4.
And it does that, and does that almost perfectly up until that plane scene.
Yeah, it seemed out of character, and it just killed the moment, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so no sequels and remakes, maybe prequel,
That
but
would
of
be cool.
course it's never going to get
No,
done.
of course not. Especially now that Clive Owen actually has a massive career.
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of had one before this too.
He was on the way up. He did Sin City before this,
Right.
which is why it kind of surprises me that I didn't hear about this one, because I was
Yeah.
aware of him. I was kind of a Giamatti fan. Oh, by the way, interesting bit of trivia about Giamatti that I almost forgot about. Director Michael Davis and Paul Giamatti had a lot of fun deciding on the look of Giamatti's character, eventually settling on a bad comb-over and a slightly lopsided goatee, indicating how sloppy the character would be in some areas. Unfortunately for Giamatti, he made Shoot 'Em Up during the 2005 Oscar season, when his film Cinderella Man was heavily in play, and he had to attend the Oscars looking like his character from the movie.
So funny.
But I think this was before Sideways, which is what really turned me into a Giamatti fan.
Is it now? I mean, I've been a
I'm pretty
Giamatti
sure.
fan since Pig Vomit
I was aware
and
of him.
and Bob Zemuda.
I was aware of Epi, of course, like everybody, became aware of him in Private Parts.
Yeah.
And I liked him in The Negotiator, which is a great film. I highly recommend. I think it's a little out of our wheelhouse, though, but
Yeah.
Sam Jackson and Kevin Spacey and Paul Giamatti in the same movie. Need I say more?
Sideways was 3 years before this.
Was it?
Yeah.
Maybe I discovered that one later then, because I was aware of him, but I wasn't really a fan yet. But I was definitely aware of Clive Owen. I loved Sin City.
Yeah.
So, and this after Sin City would have really caught my attention. So I'm surprised. Maybe they underpromoted it. All right, so on to brains.
I was going to say, actually looking at his IMDb, Giamatti only really had about 7 years before Private Parts.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he
Okay.
did some Woody Allen movies, which is why we didn't notice him.
Yeah. And probably your random walk-ons,
Yeah.
Like Spacey getting started in was it Heartburn?
Something like that. Or,
His
well,
first movie
actually,
role.
I was aware of Spacey from the television show Wise
Wise
Guy.
guy, as was I.
Yeah. But anyway, I guess now we can go on to
On to
Brains.
Brains. Like I said, I loved the first half of it, I would say. And then it went downhill fast, but I still loved that first half enough that I'm going to go 4.
I'm going 4 as well, actually. The absurdity really only gets annoying in some select places, and
The
then of
parachuting
course
scene.
there's the, which I even think the parachuting scene is kind of enjoyable just
Okay.
for its audacity. But I mean, when it gets preachy, you're kind of just kind of, huh?
Yeah.
What? And then, but just ignore that, and it'll be a ride worth taking.
So what have we learned?
Diaper changing tables have multiple functions.
I learned that guns are bad, okay?
Okay.
All right, so until next week when we'll be starting a trilogy. Yes, surprise, surprise, we're doing another trilogy.
We are. Oh my God.
This will be our Mockbuster trilogy. More on that next week. And we will be reviewing Attack LA. No, not Battle LA. Attack LA. There is a difference. No, I think you know what a Mockbuster is.
I feel like Rip Van Winkle because this is my first day at home with internet in like a month.
Wow. That
Yes, think
hurts.
about that.
I don't want to. I was actually side conversation, but I'll keep it in the show. I was offline last Wednesday, so I wouldn't have been able to do a show either.
No
And
kidding.
just losing it for half a day drove me insane. So I can't imagine weeks.
I mean, I work with the internet all day long anyway, so I just could only sneak in several glances and status updates throughout the month, but that was about it.
So until next week, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please, please, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It would really help us out.
Pretty please.
You could also find the movie list listing everything we've reviewed so far and everything we're going to be reviewing up through, I think, this upcoming trilogy. The request form. You can, of course, request a movie, and assuming we don't have anything too important on deck, we'll try to get to it. We should be getting back to that list, by the way,
Yeah, I
soon.
think so.
Of course, you can email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or send us a voicemail.
At 414-368-ZTO1. Or for those of you who just can't get that right, there's 414-368 go fuck yourself.
I was waiting for that.
I know.
Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee.
Always from the middle of Milwaukee.
So, and until next week, of course, also always remember that wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
We made it.
Oh my God.
Violence is one of the most fun things to watch.
So finally, on to this week's movie, and it is from 2002, Shoot 'em Up, which brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by.
2007.
What did I say?
Two.
I'm just gonna take the whole thing again.
Three, sir.
Okay, so what have we learned?
You know, we should probably give it brains, I'm thinking.
I keep fucking doing it. Problem is, I don't. I forgot to put that in my notes this week, so yeah. I'll have a couple of outtakes to pick from this week.
Yeah, that's great.